Hello, I'm Joey Elias. This is number 0102, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0102. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, actor Efren Ramirez, best known as Pedro in Napoleon Dynamite, who is returning to that role along with the rest of the cast for an animated series.
Once I got the phone call from Jared Hess, who directed Napoleon Dynamite, he said that the rest of the cast is going to be working on the series and he wants to jump along. And 20th Century Fox is in full support. And I thought, of course, this is an iconic character for that many people love. And I thought, okay, let's see if I can get back into this character and remember how to be and play Pedro.
Amy Robbins Wilson, author of Transformational Mothering, she says we all need to find more time to be able to play.
We are our children's best teachers. For one thing, we have forgotten how to play ourselves. We've made being an adult very serious business. Everything has to be in its right place. Our days are very full. When we say, hey, we're really busy, that's sort of a mark of accomplishment to be really busy. So that sort of means that having time to play means that you're probably not working hard enough. So our children pick up on that message.
Alex Merriman, the guy who was behind iHandy.com, a website that teaches DIY projects using scantily clad models. How do they come up with the topics for each segment?
Well, a lot of the ideas stem from my daily use. I just bought a house a couple of years ago, and a lot of the things that I shoot stem from questions I've had.
And we have lots and lots and lots of stuff, and of course, an idiot of the day. The guest Slater, the person who told you this was show number 0102, is comic Joey Elias. And by the way, he'll be performing in Montreal at the Comedy Works the last week of August. He's also the host of the comedy show on CJD Radio here in Montreal. And you can check out more information on Joey by going to his website, joeyelias.com. And of course, you'll find links at the Stuff File page on the Stuff File page for this show, which of course is 0102. And again, thank you, Joey, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File program. Let's get right to the stuff, shall we? Well, McDonald's would want you to believe that every employee in every restaurant is just a smiling, happy bundle of contentment and joy. Turns out that's not quite true in Marietta, Georgia, where a McDonald's manager is accused of punching a blind mother who brought in her service dog and her autistic children into Mickey D's. Tiffany Denise Allen has been charged with simple battery, simple assault, fear and disorderly conduct. According to police, Jennifer Schwenker entered the McDonald's with her children and a service dog. Allen, who wasn't even on duty at the time, became irate that the dog was in the restaurant. Schwenker, who was legally blind, explained to Allen the dog's purpose and told the manager the dog was legally allowed to be inside the establishment. But Allen continued to berate Schwenker, followed her around the restaurant, and even into a bathroom. Now, during the incident, one of Schwenker's twins disappeared, and the mother ran outside to search for her child. Allen allegedly followed her into the parking lot and smacked her in the face. Surveillance video even shows several McDonald's employees holding Allen back. No surprise, Ms. Allen no longer has a job at McDonald's. Wow, punching a blind mother with an autistic child because she has a guide dog. That's like the trifecta of evil. Anyway, she certainly is not the employee of the month. Moving right along, we're thinking 47-year-old Thomas O'Neill of Wausau, Wisconsin, probably doesn't get a lot of visitors to his home. He was recently arrested for breaking into a neighbor's garage and then defecating on the floor. His excuse to police was that he simply had made a mistake because he thought he was in his own garage, where we can only assume from his answer that this is a regular occurrence. Perhaps he also needs a little more fiber in his diet. In Iowa, Des Moines police say a bridegroom's objection to his new wife's dancing partner led him to spending his wedding night in jail. Police say 31-year-old John Jacob Jake Twombly seemed very intoxicated when he knocked some decorations off a table at his wedding reception. About 20 minutes later, Twombly apparently decided he didn't like it so much when his new bride, Kamala Twombly, began to dance with Travis Cullen, one of the groomsmen in the wedding party. Twombly allegedly approached and pushed Cullen so hard that Cullen lost his balance and knocked over a ceramic column near where an off-duty police officer was sitting on a stool. Officer Andrew Phipps then called for backup. Police reports say Phipps ducked several punches from Twombly, then grabbed him and fell into a wall when other officers joined the scuffle. Phipps and Officer Cody Grimes eventually subdued Twombly, but not before Grimes gave and received a punch. So Twombly was arrested on charges of disorderly conduct, criminal mischief, interfering with official acts, and two counts of assaulting a police officer. Just going way out on a limb here, I'm willing to put some money down that says that this marriage doesn't make it through the first year. Okay? And finally, in this section of Stuff File News with me, Peter Anthony Holder, before we get to our next guest, this is just wild. In Johannesburg, a man woke up to find himself in a morgue refrigerator 21 hours after his family thought he had died of an asthma attack and called an undertaker. Morgue owner Ayanda Makolo said he sent his driver to collect the body shortly after the family reported the death. The man was believed to be around 80 years old. Makolo said when he got there, the driver examined the body, checked his pulse, looked for a heartbeat, and there was nothing. But the next day, after staff put the body into a locked refrigerator compartment, and why do refrigerators have to be locked at a morgue? Morgue workers heard something or someone shouting for help. The initial reaction was total fear because they actually thought it was a ghost. So they called police. Wait a minute. Didn't Ray Parker Jr. sing that you should call Ghostbusters? Anyway, only after the officers arrived did they all enter the morgue fridge together. The man inside was pale and a bit disoriented and asked, "How did I get here?" He was then taken to a nearby hospital for observation and later discharged by doctors. The man's family was informed that he was alive during a family meeting convened to make funeral arrangements. That was a bit of a freak-out scene too, apparently, as the story goes. Now, boy, when this guy gets home, he's going to be pissed. I just want to see the look on his face when they open the door. The look on his face. Because he's not happy that his family were so quick to send him off to the morgue. That's going to be a wonderful family reunion, don't you think? Yeah. Anyway, on to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Actor Efren Ramirez has been acting for almost 20 years in such shows as ER, American Dad, Judging Amy, Scrubs, and more, but he's best known for his iconic portrayal of Pedro in the film Napoleon Dynamite. Well, if you're a fan of that film, and who isn't? That's a classic movie. You'll be glad to know that there will be a Napoleon Dynamite animated series in the works. And here to talk about it and his career is Efren Ramirez. Hi, Efren.
Hey.
Nice to have a chance to talk with you again. We spoke on my old radio show several years ago. Well, it seems to be you can't get away from Pedro, can you?
After Napoleon Dynamite, there are a lot of roles that are quite the same as the same character. And I didn't want to do that. So I ended up doing Crank and Employee of the Month and Walk Out, a whole bunch of other films. But once I got the phone call from Jared Hess, who directed Napoleon Dynamite, he said that the rest of the cast is going to be working on the series and he wants me to jump along. And 20th Century Fox is in full support. And I thought, of course. This is an iconic character that many people love. And I thought, okay, let's see if I can get back into this character and remember how to be and play Pedro, you know, without disappointing the fans.
Well, it's interesting you say you have to think about getting back into the character, because I would suspect that such an iconic character as Pedro, you probably have people coming up at airports doing the character for you.
Yeah. I mean, just a couple of days ago, I did have the Comic-Con convention in San Diego. And once I left, once I got home to Los Angeles, packed my bags, and went straight to the airport to come to New York to do more interviews and more press. But I had to wear a hat, and I completely forgot about that, because once I got to L.A., I was going through security and everyone else. I was just so, you know, I was just tired and beat up. And everybody kept wanting to take pictures, and I thought, what the heck? Oh, yeah, that's right. So I bought a really expensive hat. I can't believe how much things are at the LAX. And had to cover my face.
Now, do you often get, because, I mean, again, like I said, I spoke to you on the program before, and what I found very interesting is you're a complex and intricate personality. Do you find that sometimes people confuse you for Pedro?
Sometimes. Sometimes, whether I'm working with, doing a whole interview with other reporters, where they look at me and they go, oh, wait a minute, you're an actor. Yes, I am. I studied Shakespeare. I've studied the works. I've done Tennessee Williams. I've done David Mamet. I've done plays. So people get surprised. I will tell you this. It's like, it's funny when you got the little kids who come up to me and they go, oh my God, Pedro. Then I become Santa Claus, and you're not going to deny that. You're going to go, hey, how are you guys? I am Pedro. And that's cool.
I'll tell you the time I realized that you, like I said earlier, you were deep. I realized that when I spoke to you the first time and talked about the character Pedro, and you brought up an analogy with Buster Keaton.
Yeah, it was, I think Johnny Depp talks about that too, when you start to create archetypes for the roles and the characters you create. I actually put Buster Keaton and my ex-girlfriend's dog together to form Pedro Sanchez, and I thought that maybe this wasn't going to work, but when I met John Heder as Napoleon, I thought, you know, who knows, this might work, and it just turned out to be a really great combination. Actors do that in regards to develop and create characters. When I did Crank, I used Freddie Mercury and Martin Gore, put them together with Ziggy Stardust, David Bowie, and then you start to create characters, and you go, let's see what happens with that. And everything changes.
Now, it's been several years since Napoleon Dynamite first came out, and as I mentioned, you guys are going back together into the studio to do the animated series. Have you guys been in touch over the years, and have you discussed the phenomenon that, quite frankly, this little film has become?
Yeah, you know, Aaron Rule and John Heder actually live about 10 minutes away from me. So, we go visit each other and spend some time talking about the business, talking about what we've learned and how our lives have changed. And you, one thing that is very important is that you have to stay grounded, that you remember what's important, which is the work and which is what we are creating, especially for our careers. And we're all going in different directions, but being able to do an animated series where we go into a room and we're in there for about, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours max, and then we go about our daily lives. It's such a wonderful job and a wonderful opportunity to be working together again in such a way.
Well, you talk about how your life has changed since the original movie. How has it changed?
To start off, my parents always rented a house when I was growing up. So after Napoleon Dynamite and its success, I ended up buying my parents a house. Then I bought my house. I see a lot of friends who live the glam life and they get lost in its luminance, but you have to stay focused and you have to remember what's important. So having to spend time reading like Lives of Marlon Brando and Al Pacino, and then you got to go, what can I do? Even having to spend time with Jack Nicholson or Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp and Benicio del Toro and Dan Lane, Dustin Hoffman, them giving me great advice of having to build a career, you go, okay, I need to really shape something and do it right instead of clowning around. And you, it's a golden opportunity that you don't want to destroy, because it takes a lifetime to build, but a moment to destroy. And I want to be able to do it right this time.
Well, I know that pet projects can take a long time to produce. And again, the last time I had a chance to speak to you, you mentioned the fact that you wanted to do a biopic on Sal Mineo. Do you still plan on doing that? And if so, what's the status of that?
After the success of Napoleon Dynamite and everything that happened in my career, there have been several movie scripts that were offered. And you come to understand that even if you sign a contract for a picture, that doesn't necessarily mean it was going to happen. I had several scripts in regards to Sal Mineo's life and even Salvador Dali, and I thought, this is incredible. But the film industry is a constant change. So you have to go, what do I want to create? And you even when you spend time with studio executives to investors and producers, you have to really figure out exactly which way and which direction you want to shape your career. So things don't happen overnight. You know, you could dream about it, but you got to go, how am I going to make that happen? And I got to say, every time I work on a show or a production, being able to sit with the producers and talk to them and converse, how do I create the direction so that I not only create a huge fan base, but I'm happy with the kind of work that I put out. So it, you know, it takes time, and, you know, as we know, Rome wasn't built in a day. So to me, I'm excited. I mean, I'm okay with having to do 2 or 3 projects a year. So, you know, let the work accumulate. And who knows what happens in the future. So,
you recently published your first book, Direct Your Own Life. Who do you see your primary readership being?
A lot of the actors I talked to, actually. You know, from, as I said, Johnny Depp to Benicio del Toro to Edward James Olmos and Jack Nicholson. These guys have gone through the road that I'm taking. And sometimes it's not easy because there are sacrifices that have to be made. And you have to do the right thing. In between working in films, I'll DJ all over the world or I'll speak at universities as a mentor. So when I was approached by several teachers to write a book, I thought, maybe that is possible. So I spoke with Kaplan Publishing Company, and together we wrote this book. And now I'm working with several studios and with their writers and writing several scripts. And you go, okay, am I the only one? Now let me talk to actors of my generation, which is like Zachary Quinto and Seth Green and Charlie Day. Of having to create our own stuff and then be the next generation of people who are doing great work out there and putting it out there.
The animated series of Napoleon Dynamite will be on Fox. When will we get a chance to see it?
The animated series will come out in January. It's going to be airing right after The Simpsons and right before Family Guy. So I believe the studios are really, really excited about this show. I mean, just the turnout over at 2011 Comic-Con down in San Diego, they had to turn away so many people because they all wanted to go to the panel and see the little clippings of the animated series and meet the cast of Napoleon Dynamite. And then we're standing autographs. They had to turn so many people away. And I mean, to know the fact that the thing that Napoleon Dynamite came out about 6 years ago and still have that fan-based audience where it's still huge, it's a wonderful dynamic to be a part of.
And in the meantime, while people are waiting to see that in January, I understand you'll be in the Will Ferrell movie House of My Father, which is released this fall?
I forgot about that. That is so funny. Yeah, House of My Father with Will Ferrell. It's Will Ferrell speaking all in Spanish, and it's I play his best friend throughout the entire movie. It's Will Ferrell. It's a Will Ferrell Pictures comedy. And it's flipping, it's hilarious, I'll tell you that.
Well, it sounds like you always have fun in everything you do, from acting to DJing. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that. But I thank you so much for taking the time to be on the program with us once again.
No, my pleasure. People can follow me on Twitter under F. Ramirez. So if anybody have any questions, ask away.
And that's that's at Efren Ramirez on Twitter. People can look for you there.
Cool, man.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Efren.
No, thank you very much, Peter. Bye-bye.
Actor Efren Ramirez. You'll be able to see the new animated version of Napoleon Dynamite on Fox in January. You'll also be able to see it on Global in Canada. Also, look for Efren in the Will Ferrell movie House of My Father in the fall, and check Efren out on Twitter. And you can find me there, too, by the way. And go to thestufffile.com to find links to his site. Check out the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0102, and you'll find all the information.
You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander Show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey, your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of the Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick, if you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands. Just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's radio for now and forever, unless the Mayans were right.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk about kids' playtime, we'll meet the creator of iHandy.com, and of course we have an idiot of the day. But right now, more Stuff File news right here for your listening pleasure. You know, this is interesting. The city of Daytona Beach Shores, Florida, has agreed to pay $195,000 to settle a lawsuit in which six people claim they were unlawfully strip-searched by police officers. The alleged incident took place at the Biggins Gentlemen's Club, and what's weird is that four of the six who claim they were illegally strip-searched were strippers. Sorry, buddy, I usually get paid $20 for that. And in Osceola County, Florida, a man and a woman, both age 62, were injured after they hit a seawall while doing 40 miles an hour on a jet ski. What makes it a bit more interesting is that this happened at the Cypress Cove Nudist Resort, and yes, the couple were both completely naked. The naked man sustained two broken arms and a cut on his head. The naked woman was treated and released. We're assuming, or we're really hoping, actually, that the hospital gave them some clothes at some point. Maybe those cute little gowns that are air-conditioned in the back. Anyway. In Glendale, California, a 63-year-old man is reported to be in stable condition after he apparently attempted home surgery with a 6-inch butter knife in an attempt to remove a protruding hernia from his stomach. When police arrived at his home, they found the guy lying naked outside on a lounge chair with what appeared to be the handle of a knife protruding from his stomach. Oh, it gets more bizarre. As police waited for paramedics to arrive, the man reportedly pulled out the knife and shoved a cigarette, the one that he was smoking, inside the open wound. That's an interesting ashtray. He was rushed to the hospital where doctors performed surgery, and then other doctors gave him a complete psychiatric evaluation. His name, by the way, has not been released. Seriously, even if my thinking was that twisted, I'd go with the steak knife, not the butter knife. I'm just saying. I'm also guessing that we're not going to get him to quit smoking anytime soon. Anyway, big oops for the Dallas Police Department. Diane Irons is suing the city for violating her civil rights after being arrested and thrown into a drunk tank for 6 hours. Turns out, the elderly woman has not been drinking at all. Au contraire, her slurred speech was because she is a stroke victim. Ms. Irons also suggested that the lack of compassion shown to her could very well be because she is black. Dallas PD was called to her home because she and her nephew were arguing. Upon arrival, she was asked to step out of her home by police, Irons was then instantly arrested for public intoxication. Her attorney, Ray Jackson, finds this very disturbing. Police Chief David Brown apologized to the family and said Ms. Irons shouldn't have been arrested. Police dropped the charges, but Jackson maintains that his client's civil rights were violated and he has filed a federal lawsuit. Something tells me she's going to win this one. That's all I'm saying. On another note, now, I'm not a drinker, so I've never been drunk, but I find it interesting that they can go to someone's house, ask them to step outside, and then arrest them for public intoxication. I mean, they weren't in public until you asked them to step outside. Just how does that work? That's what I want to know. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, down at Lake County Jail in Florida, 32-year-old inmate Larry Stone made a phone call that would typically cost him about $20, but it didn't go through. The charge was supposed to be refunded to his inmate account, but when Larry checked his balance, he discovered his account now had more money than before the call. So he thought he'd test his luck again and made another call and hung up. Once again, more money magically appeared. So he then repeated the little exercise 77 times. Exploiting the glitch that was mistakenly depositing credits into inmate trust accounts for each incomplete phone call. After 4 hours of this, Larry had accumulated more than $1,250, which, by the way, was enough money to get his bond to get out of jail. So he paid his bond and split. But his newfound freedom didn't last long. News of the bug floated to other inmates who began to spend inordinate amounts of time on the phone. Soon, jail officers caught wind of what was going on and stopped it. Nevertheless, the glitch affected about 256 jail inmate accounts and lasted 24 hours. Now, the software error has been fixed and accounts restored to their pre-glitch totals. And just a few hours after his release, Larry turned himself in to authorities, saying he knew that they were looking for him. He now faces additional charges of scheming with intent to defraud and grand theft. More inmates will likely be charged as well. You know, good old Larry probably could have gotten away with this if he kept his mouth shut. Because if he didn't tell somebody in the jail what was going on with the phones, none of the other inmates would be doing this. It could have been just his little secret. But no, yap, 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 yap. So he gets more charges too. So I guess there's no points for creativity. Because you got to admit, that is creative. Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program, shall we? From baseball to bicycles, from dollhouses to dress up, from swing sets to sandbox to singing games. Remember the endless ways you played as a child? Well, sadly for today's kids, playtime has been cut in half. How has this happened? And more importantly, what can or should be done about it? On the line with us right now is Amy Robbins Wilson, who is the author of Transformational Mothering, A Prayerful Companion for New Mothers. She joins us from Maine. Hi, Amy.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm just tickety-boo, and I'm planning to go out and play after we're done. So what I'd like to know is, how did we get to this point? I know part of it has to do with safety issues, because kids just can't go out and wander around the neighborhood like we used to when we were growing up. But there's also the helicoptering parents, aren't there?
There really is. You know, people are so worried about their children right now, and they're not, you know, we are our children's best teachers. For one thing, we have forgotten how to play ourselves. We've made being an adult very serious business, you know? Everything has to be in its right place. Everything is, our days are very full. When we say, hey, we're really busy, that's sort of a mark of accomplishment to be really busy. So that sort of means that having time to play means that you're probably not working hard enough, you know? So our children pick up on that message. And we believe the message from our teachers that says we need to be moving academics down further and further and further. We need to be teaching our babies how to read. I mean, it's gotten to a point of just lunacy. And what we need to be teaching our children is that life is fun. Einstein said, you know, life, imagination is more important than knowledge. Imagination, you know? How are we going to build this imagination if we're always being taught that there's a right way to do things?
The thing that frightens me more than the lack of playtime in our day and age, quite frankly, is the idea that play dates are now scheduled events.
Yeah, we have scheduled play events. And really, we hover over our children during those play events. We don't even let them play by themselves. Now, when children are very tiny, this is fine, you know, because you've got babies and you need to watch them all the time just to make sure they're not going to choke on a Lego or something. But when children get to be 5 or 6, we really need to be able to let them just have fun in a play date. Let them work things out. Observe from a distance, but the greatest work of a child is play. And when we're in a free play situation where, all right, someone just did something that I didn't like and I need to find the words to figure out how to negotiate this so they still want to play with us, those are incredible life lessons. And parents can help coach their children before or after play dates, but it's really valuable for children just to see what happens when I say, I want to be the boss all the time. Do people want to play with me again? Probably not. I mean, it's really a skill to be able to put together a game of kick the can in the neighborhood. And it's not a skill that many of our children are good at right now. They're much better at pulling out their iPhones and figuring out what the latest app is than they are being able to actually talk to another kid and let it be all right to be just talking to another kid.
I think back to the years of when I was a child and the creativity of not just myself, but the kids in the neighborhood that we had. I mean, I've been in broadcasting now for over 30 years. When I was a kid, and I'm up here in Canada, kids would be on the street playing ball hockey.
Right.
I would be on the balcony doing play-by-play of the kids playing ball hockey. So I knew where I was going from a very early age. And that wasn't my parents saying, oh, well, you must go and do this or you must go and do that or stop talking on the balcony to yourself or whatever the case may be. Parents let kids be kids. I developed into a broadcaster from the age of 7.
Right.
And I saw other kids in the neighborhood who developed into what they were going to become at that same age because they were allowed to become who they were as opposed to being told at this time of day you must be here, 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 and here, and you must play with these particular children.
And you must play by these particular rules.
Exactly.
And if there's always a right answer and always a right way to play, I mean, organized sports are fabulous, but they teach a different set of skills than what free play does. If you're in an organized game, you know what the rules are. You have to follow the rules. But if you're just out there, I mean, no one, like you said, no one said we need a play-by-play broadcaster. I mean, that was completely coming out of your space of destiny, it feels like to me. You know, you said, this is who I am. And you knew at that early age you were able to find a place in the world that felt right to you. And then you're able to look at that and say, well, who else does that? Oh, well, broadcasters do that. There's also a real valuable skill in giving kids the time to work through things that they have seen. So say you see something, an interaction between your parents, and you know, very often you'll find kids go off and they'll reenact that interaction to see how it feels. What does it feel to be a mommy? What does it feel like to be a daddy? So they're taking on roles. They might see someone in the street that has just been arrested, and when they go home, they can say, oh, well, I'm going to play policeman, and you can play the person who was speeding. And then they get to reenact those roles and see, well, what does it feel like to be a policeman? These are all important things for children to do.
So my biggest concern, I'm sure one of yours too, is with all the technology we have, with computers, with PS2s and all the things that kids play with and the way our lives are structured, is it possible to get that genie back in the bottle? How do we turn back time and get kids back to being kids, or is that even possible in this day and age?
Absolutely we can. We can absolutely help our children to play and by becoming more playful ourselves. By engaging in free play with them, make up a story with your child. Have a place in your home which is just for playing. Think about your furniture. Is your furniture something that has to be kept neat? Is there a place where you can have a beanbag? Or is there a place where you can take the sofa cushions off the sofa and make them into a fort or a boat? And then what's the story that's going on around that boat? Just by having a few little skills there and letting the silly back in your life, it'll make a huge difference both for your children and for your relationship with your children.
And how much of a role does, because I find there's a lot of kids too that have, they come home from school, and I find not only do they have way too much homework, but way too many chores.
Well, you know, that's something that's up for the parents. I would say that our children are becoming very, very scheduled. And for a lot of us as parents, we find that comforting because if our children get these certain things accomplished, then we feel like we've done our job as parents. So it's a bit of a mind shift to say, I am doing my job as a parent by helping my child be creative and giving them time to just explore, to just relax, to just decompress. And if they can do that outside, all the better. But whether it's in their room just building things with Legos or it's outside building forts and bridges and being in the sandbox, know that that is every bit as important as knowing what 2 + 10 is.
Yes, and I think the important thing, too, is it's important for children to play. And as you said earlier, it's also important for adults to play.
It really is. You know, we're getting to a time where there's so much information on the internet and just available to us that it's going to be more important for us to have the skills to be able to put that information together in a creative way than it is to know all the facts. Because you'll be able to look up facts, but it's going to be very, very important that what you are able to do with those facts. I think being an entrepreneur in the next 20 or 30 years is going to be incredibly important. And in order to be an entrepreneur, you have to be a risk taker. You have to be playful. You have to be creative. You have to be able to look outside the box. And it feels more and more like our world is going in that direction where life is not going to be as predictable and things are not going to be, the path to success is not going to be as clear as it was maybe 50 years ago. We're going to be able to make our own way more and more, and our children are going to need the skills of thinking creatively in order to succeed in that world.
Amy Robbins-Wilson is the author of Transformational Mothering, A Prayerful Companion for New Mothers. You can check out her website at amyrobbinswilson.com. Amy, I thank you very, very much for being on the program with us.
Thanks so much, Peter. It's been a joy to talk with you today.
Amy Robbins-Wilson, author of Transformational Mothering, A Prayerful Companion for New Mothers. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0102, and you'll find links to Amy's website, plus links to Amazon.com, where you can order her book directly. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob DiRigo-Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. Imagine this scene. You're at home late at night and you hear a strange noise. You realize that someone is breaking into your home, so you call 911. The dispatcher answers, but then the line goes quiet. After a long silence, you hear that the dispatcher is snoring. Unbelievable, but it really happened. The question is, how did it happen? Well, there are a lot of possible answers, but here's one that scares me to death. A lawyer who's an expert in the Americans with Disabilities Act has reported that a 911 operator whose narcolepsy condition made him fall asleep on the job sued his employer under that law and won. Now, his employer has to make accommodations that will allow him to keep working. Let's be fair. 21 years after the ADA became law, it's being twisted by judges to do things that were never intended. This is an extreme example, but unfortunately, there are many more. Learn more. Visit our website at centerforamerica.org.
You're experiencing the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Sit back, relax, let it rattle around between your ears, tickling your cerebellum, and enjoy.
Still to come on the program, we'll talk to the creator of iHandy.com. And, of course, there is an idiot of the day. There always is an idiot of the day. That's coming up a little later on. But first, more Stuff File news for your listening pleasure. In Victorville, California, deputies and witnesses were left dumbfounded after a motorcyclist rear-ended a minivan and landed in the back seat unscathed. Meanwhile, the driver of the van continued making his turn and pulled into his own driveway nearby, completely unaware that he had a new passenger. Police spokeswoman Karen Hunt says, "We're calling this one a non-injury collision with a twist." It seems the driver of the minivan slowed down to turn. He was making a left turn. The motorcyclist followed him behind very closely but didn't stop in time and crashed into the rear of the van, shattering the van's window. By then, the minivan driver had already committed to the turn and pulled into his driveway less than a half a block away. As he turned around, the man discovered the shocked motorcyclist behind him. And while there was severe damage to the motorcycle and the back of the minivan, amazingly, neither of the men required any medical attention. Good thing our motorcyclist was wearing a helmet that sustained most of the impact. He only asked for an ice pack for one of his hands. Okay, a thud and shattering glass? Just how inattentive was this driver? And perhaps, how loud was the radio? That's what I'd like to know. Anyway, Melvin L. Jackson, age 48, was arrested for sexual assault after he allegedly had sex with an unconscious woman in the street in Kansas City, Missouri, in broad daylight. The victim said she felt faint and had sat down to rest, but then fell unconscious. She was awakened to hear a witness to the crime shouting, "Help her! Help her! Get off of her! Get up off of her!" Jackson, the witness said, pulled up his pants and walked away, and after police caught up with him and asked what happened, he replied that he had touched the woman's leg and, quote, "I thought the lady was dead." Like that's a justification. Wow, well, in that case, no problem, pal. Go right ahead. Whoa, that's so creepy. Yikes. That's so creepy on so many levels. I'm just going to move on. A city in northern Taiwan is trying the Midas Touch to persuade reluctant residents to clean up after their dogs by offering a chance to win gold bars to anyone handing in bags of doggy do. Starting August the 1st, dog owners and other residents in New Taipei City can hand in dog poop to government cleaning teams in exchange for tickets to the drawing. First prize, 3 gold ingots worth about $2,100. The number of draw tickets is unlimited. The winners will be named in October. A city spokesperson said, "We are hoping the draw will attract a wide participation, especially as the gold prices keep rising." I don't know. I could see people handing in all kinds of excrement, including their own. What some people will do for gold. Meanwhile, in Ohio, an Ohio woman said a picture taken with her deceased father's open casket forming the I in an Ohio cheer is a tribute to his love for the Buckeyes. Julie Miracle, who arranged for the picture to be taken after the July 1st death of her father, Roy Miracle, said the picture was a tribute to her father's fun-loving ways and his love for Ohio State University. "I didn't do it for anybody but Dad and I," Julie Miracle said of the picture, which quickly spread across the internet. "To me, it was the best honor and tribute to do to him and for OSU." The Reverend Mark Chow, who presided over the funeral at First United Methodist Church in Newark, said the photo was a fitting tribute to Roy Miracle. "He was a fun-loving man who loved to tease," Chow said. Now, that's definitely putting the fun back in funeral. And police in Ireland say a 43-year-old mother of three died after sex with a German shepherd, apparently due to some kind of allergic reaction with the animal that's similar to a peanut allergy. I had no idea sex with German shepherds was like eating peanuts. And they called it puppy love. Anyway, the dog's owner, 57-year-old Sean McDonnell, has been charged with breaking the country's bestiality laws in the first case of its kind because no one has ever been prosecuted under the nation's 1861 buggery laws. Police say the two met in an online fetish chat room and that they believe the sex was consensual. Really? Did anyone ask the dog's permission? McDonnell could now face life in prison if convicted. Yes. Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program, shall we? Hey, ladies, having trouble getting your man to complete that honey-do list and finish all those home DIY projects? Well, a new website is here to help. iHandy.com aims to encourage men to do household chores by offering instructional videos featuring scantily clad models. The site is the brainchild of video producer Alex Merriman, who joins us on the line right now from California. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how are you doing?
Jess Tickety-Boo, thanks for being on the program with us. It's an interesting concept you've certainly come up with here, and I'm just wondering at what part of the dark recesses of your mind did this one come out of?
Well, thank you very much for liking the idea. The idea started a couple years ago when I learned a lot of computer and film and a lot of other knowledgeable things through how-to videos that I found online. The problem that I found with a lot of these videos was that they were very boring, especially software tutorials I was watching or how to do stuff around the house. They were very knowledgeable in what they were doing, but the host of the program was just not interesting to me. It was always a guy that was usually a lot older than me with a monotone voice, or there's just nothing intriguing about it. So I figured, you know, why not try to do the same thing and actually do something where you can really learn, but with a much more attractive host. And so that's how iHandy was developed.
Except that you have to watch it several times to really learn anything, because who's listening to the instructions?
This is what I hear from people.
Okay, so how many of these have you done, and who are the models that you got for this?
Well, right now on the site, there are 16 videos that you can watch for free. We're producing a video every week. The models come from various sources. Some of them are some really good friends of mine, while others I find through modeling agencies.
And how do you go about deciding what topics to cover? For instance, the one I watched was how to keep your mirror from fogging up in the shower, which is very interesting, by the way.
Right. Well, a lot of the ideas stem from my daily use. I just bought a house a couple of years ago, and a lot of the things that I shoot stem from questions I've had. You know, we've done stuff on how to build a photo studio in your house. So, therefore, I learned how to build a photo studio and made a video on it. Every time I took a shower, my mirror steamed. So I tried to figure out how to make it so your mirrors didn't steam. And who would have thought it's such an easy thing? You know, put some soap on there. Shaving cream will work as well, but we found hand soap works pretty well. And a lot of these videos are just questions I've had in the past that I know I'm not the only one, and I've just decided to reshoot them.
Now, you have all these scantily clad women doing these videos. What about, and obviously I guess that's geared toward the guys, what about
Correct.
Videos geared toward the women? Will you be having some of those, you know, with some, for lack of a better term, beefcake up there or something?
Well, that is definitely something that we have strongly considered. I mean, of course, right now our main audience of ours is men, and we would like to reach all audiences. And in order to do that, that is a direction that we are going to take. It's not going to be now. We are trying to get, you know, the female site of iHandy going. And once that is kicked in the gear, then we'll move on to targeting the female audience.
Now, I said in the introduction, addressing the ladies who are having trouble getting their men to complete the honey-do list, but in all seriousness, have you heard from any ladies who might not be amused by the fact that their husbands are watching this?
You know, I'm sure there are plenty. Through the feedback I've had, I have not had anybody say anything yet. Now, granted, we have just launched, and I'm sure there's, you know, that type of view on iHandy. But a lot of it is, it's nothing you wouldn't see at a beach or a pool. So if somebody would have a problem with their spouse or somebody going to a pool, you know, there's going to be a lot of eye candy sitting there already. So it's nothing more than you're going to see out in public place. This isn't porn. This isn't anything raunchy. It's all very upscale, you know, shot well. And it's done in a very classy way. You know, we don't want to reach that type of an audience.
When exactly did you launch?
We officially launched July 12th of this year. Okay. So about a couple weeks ago.
And since you've launched, what has the reaction been? Are you surprised at all by the amount of people who are going to it, or is it what you anticipated? Are you where you expected to be after 2 weeks into your launch?
You know, it is a little bit more than I had expected. I knew, you know, putting a site like this out on the internet was definitely going to gather quite a bit of attention. We've been getting a lot more attention than I thought, and it's been growing a lot quicker than I thought. It's been received very well, and right now it's just trying to keep up with what people want, and that's the challenge that we've reached right now, and I think we are definitely working to satisfy that pretty quickly.
Are you getting a lot of media attention?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely some, I don't want to say anything, but there's definitely more ahead in terms of iHandy and growing for possibly television.
Now, you mentioned you want to basically just keep up with the demands of what people want. Now that
right.
you've got, and how many you said, 15, 16?
We're at 16 right okay. now with a video releasing every week.
Now that you've got these 16 up there, are you getting questions from the public who have watched the previous videos and said, you know, I want to know how to do X, Y, or Z. Are you going to do a video on that?
Oh, of course. We love your feedback. People will write in all the time telling us things that they'd want to see, and we try to take everything in and you know, whatever is the most requested, we're going to try to shoot that, because if that's what viewers would like to see, you know, that's what we're going to deliver.
What are some of the common requests you're getting?
A lot of car things. A lot of how to detail a car, how to work on a car. So those are definitely going to be aspects that we touch. A lot of car maintenance from, like, very simple fixes to more complex things. A lot of household things, like how to lay tile. Numerous things that we've already, either been thinking of, or a lot of this stuff we've already shot. So look forward to seeing that in the near future.
And how do you go about researching the items that you are representing in the videos?
Simple internet. I mean, that's what the internet's there for. Anybody that, you know, anything that we shoot, you know, it's all been done. You can see videos on how to do anything on the internet. What we're bringing you is a better way to view those how-to. So, yeah, sure, you can watch, you know, Bob Vila lay down tile, you know, in a very, you know, you're going to learn a lot. But if you want something more pleasing to the eye to see while you learn the exact same thing, that's what iHandy's for.
And what does your family say? Are they surprised by this project, or are they simply saying, well, that's Alex?
Well, definitely not surprised. They, you know, I've always been this type of attitude when it comes to filming, and I've always, you know, been trying to have more eye appealing things and, the way I shoot content. So my parents, my family love it. They think it's a great idea. You know, they post it all over their own Facebook, completely supportive. They actually give me ideas, in fact, on, you know, things to shoot. So, everyone around me, friends, family, love the idea, and they all promote it, and I thank every one of them for that.
Well, congratulations on a really unique idea, Alex. The website is iHandy.com. That's E-Y-E-H-A-N-D-Y, iHandy.com. And I thank you very much for being on the program with us.
Thank you very much.
Alex Merriman, the man behind iHandy.com. You can check out their website, and of course you can find links to that site by going to thestufffile.com. Just check out the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0102. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. It's now time for The Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for The Strange Things Adults Do. The Stuff File presents The Idiot of the Day.
29-year-old Victor Burgos of Brooklyn, New York, apparently got the very stupid idea to play a bit of catch me if you can with the local police. He was wanted on multiple arrest warrants for domestic violence and harassment of his former girlfriend, and after his mugshot appeared on the Utica Police Department's 10 Most Wanted list, he decided to go on Facebook and tell police to, quote, come and get him, unquote. So they did. U.S. Marshals and NYPD detectives tracked Burgos to an apartment where they found him sitting at his computer with his Facebook page still open. So why would you taunt the police online when you're wanted by the police? One reason and one reason only. You're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program number 0102. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com. And again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. And at the website, you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number. And again, that's 0102. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You could also find me on Facebook and Twitter as P.A. Holder. And don't forget to check out the Stuff File store, where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, streaming on PCJ Media and its partner stations, aboard China Airlines, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it for show number 0102. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Void where prohibited, offer slightly different in Canada. For a complete transcript of this program, next time write down everything Peter says.